The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Let's play two.
Back!
Way back! It might be! It could be! It is! Holy cow!
The fly! He scores! Cubs win! Cubs win!
Welcome into the Cubs Talk Podcast presented by Wintrust Community Bank. Luke Stuckmeyer, Eric Strobel, and Nate Poppin here. And what a start to the weekend for your Chicago Cubs. We'll get to the sweep over the Mets in a minute, but we want to touch on Nick Castellanos. He has been so unbelievable since coming over to the Cubs. We've talked about him on the podcast, but in the newsroom, we started talking about the hottest starts to a Cubs career. Who has the best start to a Cubs career? Let's start with Castellanos and then go with the other guys we think should be in the conversation. Castellanos, 27 years old. We know he's going to be a free agent, but 11 home runs in 27 games. There's no way the Cubs thought he'd be this good.
I mean, he's been a shot in the arm and then some. I don't think in their wildest dreams Theo and Jed could have thought on July 31st when it looked like they didn't do anything, and then a few minutes after the trade deadline, we got word that they had indeed pulled off the trade for Nick Castellanos, that he would have been, you know, this isn't even all-star level. This is, you know, borderline MVP level performance if he kept it up throughout a whole season. Wrigley Field seems to have reinvigorated him. We've obviously talked about ad nauseum the, you know, every day's opening day and all that, but that seems to have provided a little bit of an infectious spirit amongst the team. And, I mean, that first game he played in St. Louis was kind of indicative of what he's meant to the team. They almost got no hit. He had the only hit. He's really carried them for vast stretches of this month.
Big time, Nate. I mean, he basically owns Wrigleyville at this point. He could go down the street, walk into any bar, and he's being carried out on somebody's shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to even his time with the Tigers. He only played four games there, but he loves hitting in Wrigley. And, you know, as evidenced by his massive amount of doubles in Comerica and minuscule amount of homers in Comerica this year in particular, you could argue that the guy should have, I don't know, somewhere in the 30s on home runs. I mean, based on how big that park is and how friendly of a hitting park Wrigley is, like, this guy's just been unbelievable. Like, every single time I think he's going to slow down, he has another game like this.
I remember when the week he got traded to the Cubs, somebody overlaid his spray chart onto the Wrigley Field dimension. It was like, oh, okay, this could be fun. And it's been that and then some. And he hit his second home run today, no doubter, deep into the bleachers, and, you know, two-handed bat slam.
I was going to say, like, let's not forget the bat.
And I was like, sign him up. Can we blank check? Let's go get this guy back. We need him patrolling.
Yeah, or just give me that gif.
But that is the type of energy, the two-handed bat slam, while the Brewers probably don't like it too much, that's tough. The type of energy you get from Javi at times, and sure, that's the energy you're missing from Wilson Contreras, the other guy who's the spark plug to this team. And with that not being there at the moment, he's come in and he's offering just this boost of energy, not only to the offense, to the entire ballpark, right? I mean, you could just feel Wrigley's standing ovation after the first home run. They don't even know the next one's coming yet with the bat slam.
Sure.
I mean,
let's be honest. I mean, as much as we all love Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, and they show emotion at times, it's not part of their everyday kind of routine or their everyday demeanor. That's just who they are, and that's fine. But adding another guy like this who can really spark something in the team and in the ballpark has been just such a boon.
All right, so we know Castellanos is
without question, I think if you ask somebody on the street right now what Cubs player had the best start to their career, most people would say the newest one, Castellanos.
Recency bias.
Yeah, it's not a bad answer. He stacks up. Those numbers are incredible. Let's go to some of the other ones. Give me one, Nate, that you think is a great start to a Cubs career.
I would actually go back to Aramis Ramirez when they made the trade in 03.
Yeah, great pick.
Pirates at the deadline. I crunched some numbers. It's not Castellanos' level of success, but over his first 31 games as a Cub, he had 8 homers and 18 RBI. That's a pretty substantial, you know, coming into town and leaving your stamp on a team, especially considering where that team went.
Right.
And also the problems finding a third baseman up until that point. They had gone through, you know, just a roster full of guys that never panned out. Kevin Ori, so on and so forth.
Gary Scott.
There you go. And, you know, he comes in and he's the answer at third base for a decade, or almost a decade.
I don't think there's any question that he is one of the greatest trades in Cubs history. That's top 10 for sure in Cubs history trades. I hadn't even thought about that one, so that's a really good one. I like Aram off to a great start.
Added bonus of Kenny Lofton in that trade. Kenny Lofton was incredible.
The trade itself was unbelievable.
Down the stretch for that team.
Kyle Schwarber got off to a great start in 2015, hitting bombs left and right. And I give Kyle Schwarber bonus points over Castellanos to this point because he carried it into the postseason.
Sure.
And then he hits the epic scoreboard monster shot, and then in 16 we all know about the comeback. So he really didn't even have a 2016 season. So I'm going to give Schwarber not only the first few games as a Cub when he gets called up, I'm going to also give him 15 and 16 postseasons, which put together, that's a pretty good package.
Epic.
Let's be honest. If he had stopped playing baseball after the 2016 World Series, he'd be a legend in Cubs baseball forever. Obviously, he's gone on to have
Never have to buy another meal in Chicago.
Of course. If he would have stopped playing baseball after 2016, they probably would have retired his number.
Yeah.
No joke.
Like, there'd be a statue.
No, I think that's a great call. Schwarber was a heralded prospect, but maybe not on the level of a Chris Bryant or a Javi Baez, let's say. And I think his was fun because it wasn't really expected. We didn't know what to expect with this guy. We knew Bryant was going to be this kind of franchise player. Javi was going to bring all kinds of swagger and fun to the game. But Schwarber kind of came out of nowhere. And I remember the game in Cincinnati when he tied the game late and then hit a game-winning homer in extras. And then, obviously, the team record, 5 playoff home runs, was just electric. Doesn't even do it justice. The Schwarboard home run you referenced was just one of the greatest, against the Cardinals, no less.
Right.
Was one of the greatest Cubs moments of my lifetime, for sure.
Fastest player in Cubs history to 100 homers. I mean, that's a pretty good start to your Cubs career, not to mention a World Series. There are some guys that had one game, and we'll get to one that's an obvious one, but like Starlin Castro had one great game to start his career. Javi started off to a great career. But that's just one game. So who else are you thinking of on the list?
I mean, Nate, you mentioned recency bias. I am diving into that. But Cole Hamels, similar to Nick Castellanos, was a trade deadline acquisition a year, not at the deadline, but similarly, right around July 31st last season. In his first 6 starts with the Cubs, he went 4-0 with a .69 ERA for a team that needed it. They had to trade for Cole Hamels unexpectedly because of the failure of Tyler Chatwood and the injury to Yu Darvish. And they don't make you can quibble over whether the wild card game is the playoffs or not, but they don't get that far without Cole Hamels. And he was a revelation. We thought he was maybe cooked after his struggles in Texas.
He was so bad before he got here.
And he came here and it's like, whoa, this is the World Series MVP Cole Hamels. This changes everything. So I'll nominate, even though it's just a year old, Cole Hamels for this award.
And the epitome of that was the complete game shutout
against the Reds.
Yeah. Against the Reds.
Yeah.
They hadn't had one all season. They trade for this guy.
Boom.
He's six
starts and ERA below 1.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not bad. Sticking with pitchers, go back further in time, and I think this one's a good candidate for the best of all time. Rick Sutcliffe, the Cubs trade for Rick Sutcliffe from the Indians. He comes over. And in 84, he goes 16-1 with the Cubs to start his career.
Sounds fake.
A 2.69 ERA. He takes them to their first playoff appearance in decades, and he wins the Cy Young.
And he could hit.
and he could hit.
Yeah, the NLCS homer,
I know they didn't get to the World Series, but the Red Baron gets a vote at 16-1 in a Cy Young. That's a pretty good start to your Cubs career.
The expectations were a lot lower back then, too. So I think a lot of people were pretty okay with, you know, just making.
You weren't even really sure what type of pitcher you were getting. He hadn't been great previously with the Indians that year, so it was kind of like, well, what guy are you getting? Then all of a sudden he comes to the Cubs and he goes 16-1.
Pretty similar to Castellanos. He wasn't eye-popping numbers when he came over from the Tigers, but all of a sudden he gets here, he gets reinvigorated in the heat of a playoff race. Like, hey.
Get that adrenaline going.
Yeah.
So I have one more great start to a Cubs career. Anybody else have one?
I'll give you one, another more recent one, to be fair, but how about Wilson Contreras? Comes
very
up,
good.
Homers in his first at-bat, and is starting Game 7 of the World Series behind the plate after right. having a really solid second half of the season.
That's true. And earlier, if you go back 2 years before that, he's not even on the radar as a Cubs prospect.
No one was. Meteoric rise through the system. So
helps him win a World Series.
That's not nothing.
I'll give you that.
Although
for sure.
I do seem to remember Cap telling me about him at some point. Before
he was he was mentioned, but he wasn't at one point. He wasn't even like the top catching prospect.
He was a converted catcher.
Right.
Converted outfielder. So hey, the Kaplan makes sense, right?
The Kaplan makes sense. The other obvious one for me is something we did a whole podcast on, and that is Kerry Wood, Rookie of the Year. And if you just want to go to one game, I don't usually say, well, one game. I'm not going to give it to Starlin Castro because of one game. Kerry Woods was so historic that you could say yes. Listen, he's still tied for the most strikeouts in a game. He had a game score of 105.
Highest ever.
Highest number ever calculated in a nine-inning game. He broke all kinds of records. A 92-year-old team record for strikeouts that day. Listen, that is potentially the greatest game ever pitched.
It is for me.
So even if it's one or two on the list, how much better? That was only his fifth start ever. Not to his Cubs career.
Well, and he was rookie of the year,
too. To his career.
Yeah. Right.
Kerry Wood was a pretty good start.
Well, and it wasn't even just that game, because you remember the next game, you know, he carried it over. But there was a start before that, so there's a stretch of about four. From April 30th to May 17th of that year, he posted a 4-0 record over the four starts, 50 strikeouts, 6 walks.
Wow.
Over four starts.
Well, I mean, he had his 33 with including the next start. I believe his 33 and two games are
back to back.
Are still the record for consecutive starts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Most strikeouts. Kerry Wood's on that list. So we've got here's what we have. We have Schwarber, Hamels, Aram, Rick Sutcliffe, Kerry Wood, Starlin Castro, Javi Baez. Who am I missing?
I'm sure we're forgetting people.
Wilson Contreras.
And Castellanos.
You know what? Nick Castellanos has entered the conversation as best start in Cubs history.
And if they make the playoffs this year, I mean, obviously there's still a long way to go and they're hot right now, but it's been such a roller coaster. If they do make the playoffs, he is going to be one of the primary reasons why.
Agreed. And let's go inside the Cubs clubhouse and hear from Nick Castellanos. What a start it's been.
I guess we were just ready to play, you know, and we took good swings at good pitches, and, you know, we got decent results.
Talk about fatigue, but is it hard not to get fired up before this crowd out here the way they greet you every day?
It's very easy to get fired up.
You talk about being fired up, that reaction in the second homer and stuff. Was that, you know, can you take us maybe a little bit behind that?
Oh, I mean, having an idea that he was going to come in and wanting to do exactly what I did and just looking to the boys and getting fired up. I mean, I don't really have a explanation. I didn't mean to, like, do that or anything. It just came out.
Is that something that you hope can fire up a group as well, too?
Sure. You know, that's just what I don't know. That's just how I felt, like, expressing myself in that moment, was looking to the guys and doing what I did.
Nick, that's all. Ian had the hit to lead off the inning. Did you see something in that exchange that you could hit something out for yourself?
Say that again, man.
With Ian's hit before your at bat in the first inning, did you see something for your at bat?
I mean, I just remember telling Ian before, like, hey, man, like, if you get a cookie first pitch, like, let it eat, you know. So the fact that he was able to do that and it worked out, you know, I was fired up, and then it made that my job that much easier, because all I wanted to do was get him over to third base so Carantini can have him up, you know, he can be up with guy on third, less than two. So I was just looking for something I could drive.
And how many of the balls that you've hit here would have gone out of Comerica?
Oh, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you know, like just off the top of your head. Yeah, like not go. You know?
I mean, I don't think the first one does, you know.
I'm just saying in general, you know, since you've been here, I mean, is there an energy you do just pick up knowing that you're in a fair ballpark and that it just works with your energy a little bit better?
Well, I think what it does is that I can stay middle a lot better, you know, because I know that I can get rewarded for staying inside the ball, where at Comerica, you know, you don't get rewarded for staying inside the ball. So the fact that, you know, I'm always geared to try to hit that fastball to right center, I'm on time for changeups, like, in my first at bat, and against Rodriguez with the Giants.
Nick, numbers-wise, I think that's 11 home runs in 27 games as a Cub and one of every 10 at-bats. Have they always come in bunches for you? Do you consider yourself, at least right now, a home run kind of hitter?
Oh, I don't consider myself really anything other than just somebody who loves to hit and kick high and swing hard, you know? And better ballparks, better results, kind of, but, you know, I've gone through stretches where I've hit balls like this, but I haven't been rewarded with as many home runs.
How rewarding has this first month been for you?
Oh, man, it's awesome, you know, but not because of me, but just because of where I'm at and who I'm playing with and where we're at in the standings and, you know, what these 2 months are. You know, that's what's rewarding about it.
You're just having fun here. And the second home run, the thing you did with your bat where you hit it over your head and you kind of thumped it in the ground, is that just an instinctive thing because you're happy?
Yeah, like just exactly what I told these guys, you know, just looking at the boys and getting fired up.
Nick, we're around this team every day and with you, but for people who want to know the difference of a team that lost three straight to the Nationals and then now have reeled off like four straight, what have you seen?
I mean,
I know you can run into just good teams and hot teams, but
I would say that against the Nationals played great baseball. You know, their strikes on discipline was unbelievable. But I just think it shows that our resilience is, it was easy to go into New York, a team that notoriously doesn't play well on the road. You see the pitchers that we have lined up against us and kind of like fold a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. But that's not anybody's character in this clubhouse. So the fact that we can get punched in the mouth like we did against the Nationals and then come out and play baseball like we are speaks to the character we have.
Nobody asked you much about your defense, but it's been pretty stellar here. How much pride do you take in that? And is that a part that's just grown in your game over the years?
Well, yeah, this is only my second year playing the outfield, you know, so you can't really replace game repetition. So every day that I'm out there and I'm seeing balls off the bat, you know, and I'm having, like, Jay Hay's awesome to communicate with when he's in center. So is Hap. So I have a very good idea of where everybody is. And, you know, I'm just doing the best I can.
To be able to do it in this ballpark, particularly because the conditions can make it difficult, is that something that you expected to be able to do?
On that, it is what it is, man. You know, I'm going to have to, if I'm going to persevere and help this team and be the best I can out there, I can't focus on, oh, the sun, oh, the wind, oh, this and that. Just run and catch the ball. Catch it and throw it in.
We do have to touch on this because coming into this homestand, the Cubs have been on this roller coaster ride. They sweep, they get swept. Then they lose, you know, when they lose three in a row, the sky is falling. But we said on this podcast, we said in the pregame show, multiple people, Kelly brought it up, David DeHaze brought it up, I said it. The only guy that wasn't believing was the Kaplan, but we're getting him to come around.
Code blue.
We said,
code blue.
Baseball's a funny sport. You can lose three in a row and feel like it's the end of the world, and then it wouldn't surprise us if they went out and swept the Mets with those three great pitchers. You could have made a lot of money in Vegas if you bet that, but none of us had the guts or the money to do it.
Well, and speaking of the Mets, they won something like 15 of 16 not that long ago. You're due for regression. So, yes, they just dropped six straight. Like, it makes sense. It's baseball. That's what happens in baseball. Sometimes you get swept right after sweeping a team, which is what happened bookend with the Cubs.
Yes. Sweep, sweep, sweep. Just won. The sandwich
was
the loss.
The middle was not a Cubs sweep.
The factor that exacerbated all of this was the Cardinals being ungodly hot. I think they won 15 of 18, right, or 15 of 19, while the Cubs have kind of been just treading water a little bit. But now they're, hopefully, we've said this, I don't know how many times, like, this is the moment, this is the moment. But I think they're going to be They finally have cracked the 12 games over 500 with their win
took
today.
A while. Most of the season.
They never had been able to crack. They had gotten up there several times, and it always kind of dropped back down. You know, you lose 4 out of 5 afterward, whatever, and you kind of just, as I said, treading water. But hopefully, you know, Cards kind of come down from their high. Cubs play them a bunch down the stretch, too. You put the Brewers out of their misery here and maybe can build on something going into September.
We've had, by the way, Schwarber, as we're taping this, Schwarber hit a home run. And so he's got to be in the conversation now for greatest starts at Cubs history still. He heard us and must have thought we've knocked him down a post, so he went ahead and hit a home run. How about Victor Caratini and what he's contributed to this team with Wilson Contreras out? I mean, he carried him in that win against the Mets. His swing is red hot right now.
Do you think he's on the team next year?
Victor Caratini?
Like if he's able if he's able to get a gig starting every day. You think he
I do think he's on the team, and I think the Cubs see that value based on especially the way he's played here down the stretch.
So I don't think a lot of fans at large realize how valuable he's been to the Cubs. I saw something on Twitter. I don't remember who tweeted it, so I apologize for not giving credit, but I believe among catchers he has the 13th highest WRC plus in baseball, not just among, you know, the National League or whatever else. That's their backup catcher to their all-star starter catcher. So that's such a luxury to have when a guy like Wilson goes down with a fairly significant injury for a catcher in the hamstring, and something that he's dealt with before, and it seemed to be at this brutal time to lose a guy like that, and he's helped keep them afloat, and he's also become Yu Darvish's kind of personal catcher and has really, I think, played a big role in Darvish's turnaround. Now, most of the credit goes to Darvish, of course, and Tommy Hotovy and all the guys who have worked with him to help get his mind right and his confidence back. But you can't discount the guy putting the fingers down and kind of guiding Darvish through this unbelievable stretch he's been on.
And keeping it loose, too, from Tony's piece.
Yes.
You know,
Tony Andracki, great piece, very timely piece. Oh, on I think that posted that well. During the game last night.
Likes to chirp at Yu Darvish a little bit.
Yeah.
And then now they're going out for their jogs before the game with Hotovy. And kind of, I am interested to see who's going to join those jogs before the end of the season. Like, if it continues to get more and more, at any point are we going to have guys, just an entire team running in the outfield?
I don't think there's, maybe, but I think Kaplan's going to join them. I think Cap joins on the jog next time.
Only if there's cryo afterwards.
Can you imagine?
Only if there's cryo afterwards.
I don't want cryo getting anywhere near.
No, no. After feet. Antonio
That's
Brown, let's
point.
Keep cryo away from the Cubs.
Yeah.
His feet are just fine. Let's not complicate things.
Well, this weekend, including Friday, starts a stretch of 7 out of 9 games that are against the Milwaukee Brewers. What I hope can happen is the Cubs can knock them out of this. I would love to see the Cubs get hot right now. We're waiting for that big month. We're waiting for guys to take off. I'd love to see the Cubs get hot, knock the Brewers out of it, and set yourself up for a showdown with the Cardinals at the end of the season.
It'd be great not to have to worry about anyone nipping on your heels. I mean, obviously the primary benefit is you are stacking wins, but the you know, secondary silver lining is that you're pushing a team that really was pesky earlier this year, and obviously last year just completely caught the Cubs from behind, and just get them out of your rearview mirror, essentially. It's actually interesting to look at these two teams now, and you look at where, you know, Cubs Nation is up and down this season's on the brink of disaster. When I look at the Brewers, made it all the way to NLCS last year, high hopes, and they've, over the last month or so, really cratered. Like, it's really been tough to watch, honestly. I mean, the pitching's been brutal.
No, it hasn't been tough to watch. It's been fun to watch.
Okay, I'm trying to be nice. It's been very enjoyable. Let's not get mixed up here. But the way they've been, they just haven't been competitive. Now, they haven't helped the Cubs out against the Cardinals, which has really been unfortunate.
Right.
It's much easier to deal with, I think, as a baseball team when it's just one other team. You're not worried about you're in the mid. You know, there's 3 games separating 3 teams or something like that, and you can just put all your focus on St. Louis going forward.
Well, and not all Brewers fans are as crazy as Cato Kaelin. So, know,
he's done.
They're a little more level-headed. Sometimes.
He's done for the 132nd time this year.
Well, it's a big weekend. Kelly Kroll and Tony Andracki will be at Wrigley Field all weekend. Look for new podcasts coming wherever you download your Cubs podcast. Make sure you subscribe. That way you don't have to look. They're just there for you as soon as they come down the pipe. They'll be sitting there ready and waiting for you to listen. Thanks for listening to the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust Community Bank. free ATMs nationwide. Take care. Have a great holiday weekend. And we'll talk to you soon. Fly the W.